As we begin, Brother Sun is requesting all brothers and sisters to please turn on your video. And if you are moved, we do hope that brothers and sisters can follow the leading of the Holy Spirit and lead us in a short word of prayer. We really need His grace. And so as we gather in this manner, even though it's incomplete, but we do hope that as we pursue in such a way that we would not lose out, let us pray and intercede on behalf of one another. So we ask everybody, please do turn on your video. Please turn on your microphone and unmute. And we will have a time to pray. We will now give the time to all brothers and sisters. If you have a burden in your heart, please do follow the leading of the anointing. A short prayer is fine. Just a short prayer is fine. Let's have a time of prayer now. Lord, we do thank you. It is your grace that once again gathers our brothers and sisters in different locations together. And so with reverence, we do place the following time in your hands. Our desire is that before you, our hearts would be acceptable in your sight. And as we pursue, may you search out every one of us so that in this age, because of the desire we have, Lord, may you accomplish that which you desire to accomplish. Lord, as we gather here, may you yourself anoint every single person in this gathering. Hold us through our prayers. Those who pray, those who fellowship, those who attend, those who listen, may all be beneath your anointing. We are willing to say, because we have your new life, you have given us a new character, and so we have a new living. So in the following 2 hours, do bless us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you. You have given us this opportunity to gather in your presence. May it not be just our person sitting here, meeting here, but Lord, may you be here and have fellowship with us. We are willing here in this gathering to meet you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Lord, for another opportunity to be able to gather before you, our hearts want to thank you and praise you. Lord, thank you that once again you give us this chance together to receive grace before you. Lord, use many brothers and sisters in their fellowship so that not only should we hear just doctrine and teaching, but we want to hear you. We want to gain the words of life, and we want to be nourished in our life. For the following time, we place it into your hands. Do help us that we may be a group of people who receive grace before you. In your name we pray. Amen. Dear Jehovah, Lord, do examine me, search my heart and know my thoughts, know my innermost thoughts, to lead me on the righteous path. We reverently place ourselves into your hands. Do breathe the breath of life upon us. We need you. We cry out to you that we need you. I pray this unworthy prayer in the name of my Lord Jesus' holy name. Amen. Yes, Lord Jesus, we do come before you and we have this one desire. We want to meet you. We want to see your face. Lord, we do pray that you would hear our desire. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, through this gathering, we do pray that we would be those who would truly be seeking out your word and your law day and night, and then we would be blessed. Lord, we do pray for the pouring out of your Holy Spirit, that we may be that tree planted by streams of water, receive water in its right time and be nourished so that all things may be smooth and well for us. Lord, we do desire that we can gather more and more before you, and through the word of your Spirit, we can gain more of you and also be gained more by you. Do bless our prayer. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Amen. Dear Lord, we thank and praise you. Together with all our brothers and sisters, as we gather together, this is your grace and your love. And do be with us. Lord, you give us your Spirit. Do also give us your word, so that we may know your will, so that how we can live in a way that is pleasing and acceptable to you. May you draw us with your love. We give you all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. You once again gather your children together. Our hearts so desire after you. And we also are willing to be gained by you. in our hearts. We want to be gained and be occupied with you. Speak to your children. May you speak very clearly the words you want to speak, so that we may have our minds filled with you yourself. We thank you and praise you. Help us as we move forward. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lord, we thank you. You have taken away all the obstacles, and now we can come before you. Lord, do watch over us. In your presence, we only want to gather before you for your will and your heart's desire. Do protect the following time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lord, we do thank you with all of our hearts, because beneath your precious blood and beneath your name, we can all come before you. You have called all your people before you. Lord, we are a people called by your name, and we come before your throne. And so we reverently place the following time into your hands. May you take away all obstacles and all walls, so that here we can hear the voice of the Son of God. Thank you for having such a desperate heart for your own church. Lord, we pray that you may gain your church in an earlier time. As we come before you, Lord, may you yourself show grace to your people. Speak your words of love to us. In the darkest time, it is night and it is the end of time. So we pray that you may do your work, so that your children may rise up. And once again, according to your will, that we would leave the elementary things of Christ, but go deeper, bring us into your eternal purpose. Allow us to enter into your abundance. Lord, we look to you in this following time as you gather your children. Show us your grace and mercy. May we all return back to you. We give you all the worship. We forever give you all glory and praise and worship and thanks all to yourself. Thank you, Lord. We pray this according to Jesus' victorious, glorious name. Amen. Lord, we thank you. You have given us this opportunity to gather in your presence. Lord, the time has already come to the end. And how you desire that on earth you may gain vessels that are useful to you. If you do not gain the people, you will not work. So Lord, we're willing to say, here I am. We desire to be gained more by you. Lord, may you accomplish this little bit of desire in us, that as your children come before you, that many can receive your grace and have our inner eyes be opened, and that we would have more experiences of meeting the Lord, so that the more of us would be changed, and in your hands be that useful vessel, and that your work at the end time, it will be for your own return. Lord, we place this time reverently into your gracious hands. Lord, how we need your presence. And so here, Lord, we pray that you would breathe your breath of life upon our gathering. Together we wait before you. From our depths, we give you all the worship, the praise, and adoration to you. Hear our prayer. In Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen. Yes, Lord, you say whoever is willing to offer themselves to the Lord, we say we are here according to your grace, according to the sacrifice of your Son. We place ourselves in your hand. We pray to you, Lord, how you are so desiring to gain more of your church. It's not that we can offer anything. It is your grace that is upon us. We can only bow our heads to worship you. We acknowledge that we have been saved for so many years. We have received so much grace. Do forgive us. Do forgive us, Lord, so that we would have a true, clear seeing before you, to see the hope of our calling and the inheritance among the saints. It is so glorious. Allow us to see that your power is to be made manifest in us. So we place our entire being into your hands. According to the blood of Christ, we come before you so that we would have a victorious spirit before you. According to our own condition, Lord, we do pray that we would not be an obstacle or hindrance to you, or our failures and weaknesses to hinder your work. Because your hand is not too short, your arm is not too short to save. Hear our prayer. Do stir up and encourage our prayers, because your word will be like a fire and mighty roaring waters. And so may you shine out through your word in great power and give us that unblemished faith so that we may truly receive your word, that your word may purify all of us. May your word do shake and break down our hardness and our coldness, all of our obstacles, all of our own opinions, all the things that we thought that we had, all the things that we thought that we are, so that we may truly be humble and gentle, like come before you like a child. We look to you. May your spirit be mighty. You are King. You are God. We give you all the thanks and praise. Hear all our prayer. In Jesus' most precious, victorious name we pray. Amen. Okay, our time of prayer needs to stop here. I do know many brothers and sisters, in your heart, you still have the burden of prayer. We thank the Lord. We do know that there are many brothers and sisters who are all together pursuing with us and have this great thirst and desire. We do hope that later in our daily lives that we will continue to pray. Today in this gathering, as we begin, we do ask the saints in two locations to lead us as we memorize together Colossians chapter 3. And so if you have memorized it, no need to look at the text, but older brothers and sisters, do open up your Bibles and we will memorize together. There will be two locations who will memorize for us. First is in Austin, Texas. The brothers and sisters will memorize in English. And then in Newark, we have the saints there who will memorize this in Chinese. So now we're going to give the time to the saints in Austin. Perhaps we need to ask the saints in different locations. We need to ask Brother Andrew in Minneapolis to help us so that the audio sounds a little bit more clear and uniform. But we do thank the Lord that all brothers and sisters did memorize. Though it's not so organized, a little bit unclear in the audio, but no matter what they memorized, perhaps later, if we could do change the format a little bit, it would be a little easier to listen to. But next, we're going to ask the saints in Newark, Brother Freedom, to lead us in the Chinese. We thank the Lord. Brothers and sisters have all memorized. As I was listening, I was thinking about when I was younger. I remember sitting in a stone house. There were many, many Jews. They all were wearing their hats, and they were all with that sound memorizing their own scriptures with that sound. As I was listening to it, to your recording, it was like I was when I visited Israel, this was the sound of them memorizing their scriptures. Even though the sound wasn't organized, but I do thank the Lord that everyone before the Lord really put forth the effort, and this is beneficial to everyone. We do hope that in these years of desolation, that we can encourage and stir up one another to really love and to treasure God's word. And as we memorize, the main purpose is so that towards God's word, that we would place that emphasis upon it. Next time, we're going to still ask the brothers and sisters in Minneapolis to memorize the Chinese version because they have many young people there and they are pretty well organized. We're going to ask the brothers and sisters in Seattle to memorize it. Last time it wasn't so good, so we hope that this time, Colossians chapter 4, they can memorize it well. Perhaps Brother Jian can, or Brother Lin Huan can connect with the saints in Minneapolis so that they could learn how to make this a little bit more clear in the audio recording. For all the saints, even though we're not participating in this memory together, but we do thank the Lord that we can together memorize his word. We have spoken again that there are these two books. We do hope that for these two books, as we place our attention on these two books, we know that these two books are very important regarding God's will. The most important revelation of his will are within these two books. And so as we continue on, we do hope that we will use some time to be able to have some fellowship with saints on these books. Now, the second portion of our time today, I do want to have some fellowship with brothers and sisters about how to follow the teaching of the anointing. This is also another very, very important point. Later, I'm going to talk about it some more, but I do thank the Lord that there are some saints. They have received this burden. They're willing to share their personal experiences. But I do want to encourage and remind brothers and sisters, share the main point. The main point is the work of the Holy Spirit in you and how you have followed the anointing. We don't have time to talk about anything else, any other testimony. I know, brothers and sisters, you do have many good testimonies, but it's not, if it's not within these boundaries, then let's not share about that here. The main point here is how the Holy Spirit within us led us. So first off, I'm going to ask Sister Monica. Our Sister Monica is in Westminster in California. We're going to ask her to share with us first. Thank you, Brother Sun. Sister Monica says, hello. I am Monica Mo. I'm in Southern California. I gather with the saints in Westminster. Today, my sharing happened at the end of April. We're also memorizing Bible verses, so I made these small note cards, and I always have them with me so that I can memorize. On that day, my youngest son, Jack, I had printed out next month's cards, and I gave him very specific instructions and said, please cut out these cards and cut them long into long strips. And this child, he doesn't really pay attention to instruction. And so I told him several times after he cut them, and I looked at them, and all of them was cut wrong. He did not follow instructions. And so at the end, I had to redo it. And so in my heart, I was very annoyed. I was frustrated. And I scolded him, you need to listen to instructions. And so again, I told him, look, I have to do this all over again. And so I had to print it out. And as I was doing this, in my heart, I was still thinking, we need to learn how to listen to instruction. Even though our intentions are right, but we haven't followed his instructions, then everything gets messed up. As I was thinking this in my heart, I all of a sudden realized that everything I printed out, I made a mistake. There was a box that was not correct, and I needed to redo it again. And the Holy Spirit reminded me, see, you make mistakes too. you're being too harsh on that child. And then you see that pressure upon his heart. And that time I was memorizing chapter 2. Because didn't Paul say at the beginning that I struggle for those who have not personally seen my face? And at this time, the Holy Spirit reminded me that you need to calm and comfort the heart of the child. And he placed his words in my heart. And then I had to repeat and go back to say to Jack, I'm sorry. I know you want to help Auntie and you made a mistake and you feel bad. And then I shared with him my own mistake. Everyone makes mistakes, but we need to learn the lesson. I just want you to know that Auntie appreciates you and sorry for being harsh. And then I saw the child's face, all of that pressure and burden in him was let go. And so I thank the Lord when the Holy Spirit leads us, doesn't matter if it's right or wrong. I can't say that he was wrong, but what I did was not according to the nature of Christ. And so on this matter, he does correct us. This is my sharing. Thank you. We thank our sister, Sister Sun Qi. Brother Sun asked me on Tuesday whether or not I can share. My name is Sister Qi. Something that I have learned recently, we have a neighbor, and when they park, they just park freely wherever they want. One time when the HOA had a meeting, everybody mentioned that the parking of this neighbor has become a problem. And at the meeting, they had agreed to say that, yes, they will pay attention to this. And recently, there is a direct neighbor . The neighborhood streets are very narrow. And so oftentimes one tire of the car is parked on the sidewalk. But they have this habit that they will drive on top of our sidewalk and drive onto their own home and stop there. One time I was doing yard work and I felt that there was this wind blowing behind me. And I realized that their car had passed right behind me. And in my heart, I was very unhappy towards them. And every day I see how they drive through on our sidewalk. And I was very unhappy. At first, I was not paying attention to how much this matter bothered me. But one day, as I was coming home, I saw that car was not there. So I said, today, I'm going to park right in front of my house so that they cannot drive past my house, that they need to spend some time to drive onto their own space because they cannot park in front of our house. But when I stopped and parked in front of my own home and I came into my own house, that morning, I was reading Proverbs 24, and immediately verse 29 of 24, the Lord said to me, do not say thus, I shall do to him as he has done to me. I will render to the man according to his work. Immediately those words came upon me, and then I had to go and move my car. I thank the Lord in this matter. He showed me some of the ways that I am not according to his life and his nature. I thank the Lord. This was one. And another one, after the pandemic, because all the children are having their classes on Zoom, and so Saturdays we would send supplies to the children. For those who know me know that I do not remember directions well. So on Google, I would always find my directions well. So I think about how I can go and then calculate the time. I'm really afraid of getting lost. About 6 weeks ago, last month, when I was sending all the supplies, I put all the map directions onto my phone. And as I was sending all of the supplies to the children's homes, my phone all of a sudden died. So I didn't know where to go next. But then immediately there was a word that came in that said, be still and know that I am God. And then all of a sudden I was very, very quiet and I drove. I found a place to stop, and it was because my cell phone had overheated. It was too hot. And so when I stopped down and waited for my phone to cool down, within my heart, I was so full of thanksgiving. As Brother Sun has been reminding us that the anointing is always within us. The Lord is right there all the time. And so he has led us. This is my sharing. Brother Sun says, is Brother Zhang Po there? Sister Joyce? I'm Sister Joyce in Seattle. This is my experience in buying groceries. My husband suggested that I share about this. One time I went to Costco to purchase groceries and I bought many things. At that time, our house, we needed a toaster oven. And so I bought a toaster oven. And then at that time, the Holy Spirit reminded me to say, they might calculate the price wrong. But then they kept scanning the item. And at the person checking the receipt at the exit also looked at my receipt. And I did not obey the leading of the Holy Spirit. I just stuffed the receipt into my purse. And I didn't want to think about this matter. But then when I got home, the Holy Spirit was within me, still reminding me, saying that I need to go back and look at my receipt. Because I was busy. That day I was very busy. And so I ignored and quenched the moving of the Spirit. But that voice was still calling out within me. And then when I was finally willing to look, the cashier did not even scan in that toaster oven at all. So basically, I never paid for the price of that oven. And so in my heart, I thought, how should I take care of this matter? And this spirit within me reminded me, you need to bring this back and take care of it. My grace is sufficient for you. Now, because I'm not one who's very good at expressing myself, I thought, if I had to bring this back, I need to clarify this matter. It was a very difficult thing. But then at that time, the enemy was also within me, doing a work of temptation to say, well, this isn't your mistake, it's their mistake. You're lucky you got a free toaster oven. You don't even have to spend a penny. Isn't that great? Why bring it back? Other people might think that you stole it. And so I had a huge struggle within myself because I was so afraid. I delayed. And then I pulled my husband to take him with me to go back to Costco. If I couldn't speak it clearly, perhaps that he could speak it clearly for me. When we went at that time, the staff didn't understand what we wanted. They wanted to return money back to me. He wanted to return the watermelon or wanted to return all other things. I said, is it because we charge you too much of a watermelon? We'll give you the money back for that. Even the manager finally came out. And we needed to speak this clearly. But when we finally did, when we got home, we had peace. For those months, we don't know why. It was just constantly these things that were happening. Every time I come home, people miscalculated and did not charge me the full amount. And I needed to go back and stand in line and take care of this. But then one day, when I went to Home Depot to purchase something, I bought a small tray to put beneath a flower pot. It's a very, very cheap thing that's plastic. After I loaded everything in the parking lot, the Holy Spirit said, "There's something on your receipt that wasn't charged to you." I realized it was that tray. It was only a few cents. And I had to go back and stand in line. But because I had to go and pick up my child and I was almost late, I was very unwilling. But the Holy Spirit within me, I had a great struggle. But then I realized I needed to obey the moving of the Spirit. That in small things, I need to be faithful. That's what he was telling me. And so I took that small tray. I went back into Home Depot. I put it back onto the shelf. And then I left because I was truly late. I really thank the Lord. Because in that experience, because my husband and I, we both serve in the college group, I shared these experiences with the young people. And hope that we can mutually encourage one another, that in our daily lives, that we can do the things that please the Lord. And then two young sisters who don't normally come consistently, they were benefited from these sharings, and it really encouraged me. One sister, when she was in college, a classmate said, "I can make you a fake student ID. And I can do it very skillfully so that no one can tell. So that you can save the money for the student ID and use it for other things." And that sister mentioned that the Holy Spirit within her also told her, "You should not do that. This is not what a child of God should do." And at that time, she very quickly rejected this offer from her classmate. Another sister, a few weeks later, another sister also shared that there were a group of them. They went out to eat at a buffet. And one person at the end went to pay. And at the parking lot, when they wanted to deal with the finances, they realized the waitress had not counted one person's money. And among that group of friends, there was some that were not believers, and they were very happy because they got a free meal. But the sister in her heart, she had no peace. And so with her and her older sister, they shared in the college group that within them, they had this sense of rebuke. They went back, and the portion that was not paid, they paid it completely. This is my sharing. I thank the Lord that in these small matters, we learn to follow the teaching of the anointing. In these experiences, it's not just for myself, it's also for everyone. We thank the Lord. As brothers and sisters hear these testimonies, we know that when we follow the anointing, it is something in our daily life. It's not a special circumstance, but it's something that we need to have every day. If you pay attention to the anointing within you and it's his teaching, then many small things in your daily life, he will teach you in those things. Now, the Lord has given us the Holy Spirit. We have said that, yes, as soon as he lives in us, he has an interest in every aspect of our daily life. So as brothers and sisters talk about their daily lives, it's so precious. This is long-standing. This is continual, daily. It should not be a special circumstance. It needs to be in our daily life, something in which you daily follow the anointing. Only in the life of following the Holy Spirit and the anointing is a true spiritual life. It's not your meeting life. It's not reading the Bible or prayer. No, brothers and sisters, that may not be a true spiritual life before the Lord. A true spiritual life is that your spirit and the Holy Spirit has a true result from his work. When he leads you, that is a true spiritual life. Oftentimes we think a spiritual life is just this outward action. Now, brothers and sisters, let me give just a few more minutes time. Are there any other brothers and sisters? You have some good experiences between 3 to 5 minutes. Brother Jiang Bo. I thank the Lord. Just as with Brother Sun, after prayer meeting, I had a teaching of the anointing, the Holy Spirit within me. At first, when Brother Sun asked me, I told Brother Sun, I don't have anything. But then later on, when I went home, the Holy Spirit said, well, I've followed before the Lord so many years, I ought to know. And the Holy Spirit reminded me. So I just want to very simply share with brothers and sisters in this matter regarding driving. A few years ago, on a Friday night after the meeting, our whole family drove two cars. It was at night. And then as we got to our own street, there was a left turn. And the brothers and sisters who lived close by our home, there were some people there who were blocking the road. They were walking there. I didn't know there was a car behind me and scared me. And then two cars behind me kept tailgating me. And all of a sudden, I don't know why I got so angry. And that car drove that car next to me and was scolding me. And I was very upset. And then I also started to yell back at them. And then that person drove in front of me and blocked me. It was a road that was only a two-lane road. And at that time, I just concluded a meeting and I was tired. But now the enemy was in me. And then very quickly, I sped up and passed that car. And he kept tailgating me all the way to my home. And then I stopped. And he was still yelling at me because my English is not very good. And then my children said to me later, my sister told me that he scolded me with very terrible words. And then my wife reminded me, there's so many people in your car. You're driving so fast. What good is that to us? And then in my heart, the Spirit was convicting me. And then when I was driving later on, the Holy Spirit would teach me often, remind me often, that as brothers and sisters, we need to be humble. And recently, when I shared with some saints regarding these things, about the teaching of the anointing and the discipline of the Holy Spirit, and also because of the pandemic, a very simple matter that as I'm driving on the road, a person would on purpose strive in front of me so that I could not turn. But when he doesn't turn, I can't go. I wouldn't think too much of it. But when we come, they would go very fast to pass me. And I would see that perhaps that car that is speeding now was the car that was blocking me from before. But then when I drive slowly, or when he wants to go slowly, he would have to make me go slowly. And then on the freeway, after several hundred meters, but basically I would feel like I'm not stirring up wrath anymore, but whatever I'm doing, there is peace in me. But I do want to share very simply these experiences with brothers and sisters. Brother Sun speaks now for the sake of time. If you have any other good testimonies, we encourage you that in all the locations, different meetings and gatherings you have, do share your experiences with the saints. We do want to pull this open so that all brothers and sisters can all follow the teaching of the anointing. And today, if you do not have an opportunity, then next time, do let us know. Tell Brother Jin. If you have good experiences, do share it with them. And then next time, we will give brothers and sisters this opportunity. And now, together with brothers and sisters, I want to bring us back to the very beginning. There's another very important goal and purpose for this sharing. We're using Philippians chapter 3. We're using the words of Paul. Let's open to the book of Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. Let's read this verse again. Paul says, "Not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus." As we began, we shared with brothers and sisters at this time, what is our goal? That is how we can allow the Lord to gain and lay hold of more of me. We see here, Paul, he is pressing on. What is he pressing on for? A lot of young people, a lot of servants of God, they press on for knowledge, for power, for gifts. They press on for the results of their work. But for Paul, no, it's not that for him. What is he pressing on for? He's pressing on that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. May every brother and sister also examine. May the Lord examine our hearts. How much has he laid hold of us? This is the direction of our pursuit this time. So whether it's teaching of the anointing or reading scripture and the things that we'll talk about later on, but the main goal is so that the Lord may lay hold of more of us. Yes, it's very precious that you lay hold of the Lord, but for the Lord to lay hold of you is even more important. Many of our difficulties is often because the Lord hasn't laid hold of us. We have gained his blessing. We have many outward gifts from him. We have power from him. Brothers and sisters, that spiritual result is very small. If as a person we have been gained by the Lord, that is the most important. May the Lord, may all brothers and sisters set this goal before you. Paul says, "I press on." Now for Paul, he does have very high expectations for himself. When he was young, He was far surpassed all his peers. He was a very intelligent man. He was also one who was very diligent and strove hard. He was like this person who wanted to have a great career in his life, but now the direction of his pursuit is different. Now is for Christ to lay hold of him even more. We hope that in these days, the Lord can also change our perspective so that we may pursue more after the Lord laying hold of us. This is so important. And so Paul uses his own experience to encourage us. And this time, we have four different paths or four lines as the direction of our pursuit. Brothers and sisters, please remember, along these four lines, the main goal is not how much and how well you memorize the scripture or how great your experiences are in following the teaching of the anointing, or that you have great change in your spiritual habits, or you've read how many biographies, autobiographies, but all these are to help us to allow the Lord to lay hold of us even more. May the Lord show us grace. The return of the Lord is so near. We don't have as much time now. We need to press on even more, just like Paul. So it doesn't matter what outward circumstances are, or what other people's thoughts are, what they say, or the condition of other people's gatherings. Brothers and sisters, we need to set our goal, just like Paul, to press on. We press on. What does it mean to press on? Paul says that in this matter, this is the most important in his life. If you're willing to press on, then that means if you are striving with everything you've got, that's most important to you. What's the most important thing in your life? Allow the Lord to lay hold of us. And so I hope that as we have clarified and now reset this goal, we hope that all brothers and sisters who are joining us, that we would mutually encourage one another. This is our greatest desire. We desire for him to lay hold of more of us. Now let's go back into the details. I still want to use a little bit of time to share about teaching of the anointing, this matter, again, to go deeper into this. Last time we shared that the teaching of the anointing is our Christian life and service. If you know how to follow the teaching of the anointing, then you will know how to serve the Lord. You will know how to live a spiritual life before him. This is a very, very important matter. I don't know, in the past, brothers and sisters, have you ever heard such a teaching that as a Christian, you need to train up your spirit? Actually, in scripture, there's no such word. It just says that we need to train in godliness. And Paul, in 1 Timothy, tells us that we need to practice and train up in godliness. Now, some people have said we need to train our spirit. Now, of course, intention behind it is good. As a Christian, once you are saved by grace, that now your spirit is awakened. And our spirit before you doesn't seem as if it can function much before the Lord. How can we allow our spirit to be more set free? How can we be in harmony with the Holy Spirit? And thus, some Christians feel that we need to train up our spirit. Those who say this, it means that among the majority of Christians, they are those who have paid more attention to the main point of scripture. A lot of people say read the Bible well. Yes, you need to go to meetings, you need to serve well, but don't really pay attention to this quality of their spirit. So for people who say this, they know that the spirit of the saints is very, very important. But how do we train up the spirit? So a lot of people have thought of some methods. I remember when I was young, we have received some teaching. If you want your spirit to come out, you need to cry out loudly. When you pray, you need to pray loudly. You need to speak loudly. So from my youth, even to today, my sound is very loud. Yes, because I was taught that way. I remember when I was young, in communion, I prayed at the top of my voice. And then the older brothers all praised me. They said, oh, brother, young brother son is so good. When he prays, he has even blown off the roof of our meeting place. They praised me, and I thought I was very satisfied in myself too. Yes, as humans, when we are all oppressed, if you call out loudly, you can be set free, right? I know a sister. We served together in the past. She says every time she felt depressed or oppressed in her heart, she would drive, she'd go out to a mountain place and stand there and cry out very, very loudly. And she would just yell, yell, yell. And afterwards, all of a sudden, her mood felt better. You know, when you release your heart, yes, this is a way where you are released. Today, as humans, there are some people, when something happens, they just set themselves off by crying and weeping, wailing. Some people do this, but can this bring about a release of the condition of your spirit? Not necessarily. You can be loud, but then it could be the action of the soul. When you are in a very large gathering and people say, yell and cry out, say praises and sing hallelujah. A lot of church gatherings do this today. But then it causes the atmosphere to be very, very hot. And everybody feels that it was a great meeting. Everybody felt there was great freedom. But no, it may not be freedom in the spirit. Brothers and sisters, yes, there may be times when the Holy Spirit leads you in such a way. Let me share with you this past experience of mine. You also may know this. I'm just going to use this as an example. In the past, when I read about our Lord Jesus in the Gospels, when he was rejected by some villages and towns, and when he encountered the problems of people, all of a sudden he rejoiced before God. He said, Father, yes, this is your will. And then he would call out loudly, Father, yes, this is your good will. And so I encourage brothers and sisters, when things are not going well and you feel oppressed and persecuted, it's best that you say, Father, yes, this is your good will for me. And then you will be set free. And then one time, I myself encountered a matter that caused me to feel great pressure and stress. And so that day I knelt before the Lord. And when I was praying, the Holy Spirit spoke inside of me and said, didn't you tell others to cry out? Well, why don't you try it? And so that day I felt so embarrassed. The Holy Spirit was very clearly moving in me. And I said, Lord, because I felt so stressed out, I couldn't cry out to him. I said, Father, yes, this is your good will for me. The Holy Spirit said, you're too quiet, louder. And so I tried to be a little louder. Father, yes, this is your good will for me. And the Holy Spirit said, no, louder. I was by myself in my room. I said, okay, fine, since no one else is here, then I'm going to just raise my voice and call out loudly, Father, yes, this is your good will for me. And then do you know what the result was? All of the clouds dispersed. In my spirit, all of a sudden rose up. And then there was no more difficulty. So yeah, sometimes when the Holy Spirit leads us, so that in the spirit, this may happen. But yes, sometimes you don't need to cry out loudly. There were a few times when I felt so depressed and low. I was so disappointed. I felt that I had been wronged. And so I was just thrown attitude. I felt like a balloon that had been filled with this bad attitude and bad mood. But here, the Holy Spirit spoke a very quiet word to me. Like he was like a needle that just pricked me. As soon as he pricked me, all of a sudden, phew, all of my bad mood disappeared. So sometimes you don't need to have a loud voice. When you follow the teaching of the anointing, it doesn't matter that you can, whether or not you can do the matter right, but your spirit will be healed. In your spirit, the condition will be changed to be better and better. And so how does a Christian learn to train your spirit? You follow the teaching of the anointing. This is too important. Paul, in 2 Timothy chapter 1, when he encouraged Timothy, because he himself was imprisoned, and Timothy at Ephesus, he encountered many difficulties. And so Timothy's spirit was very low. And so Paul encouraged him to do what? He says that the spirit that God has given to us is not a spirit of timidity, but a power, love, and discipline. It is not one that is timid. You should not be like that. And so Paul was encouraging Timothy. He was encouraging his spirit. And so in 2 Timothy, in Paul's last exhortation and encouragement to him says, may the Lord be with your spirit. Because he prayed for Timothy's spirit. When the condition of your spirit is not good, you cannot serve the Lord. Then your life will be chaotic. The condition of a Christian spirit will determine whether your life and service is good or bad. It's very important. And so we need to have a good spirit. And we have shared before, like Daniel, he had an excellent spirit. Daniel had a very excellent spirit. This is a very important matter. And so today, if you want to have an excellent, good condition of your spirit every day, you need to follow the teaching of the anointing in the smallest detail of your life. Isn't there a good hymn that we sing? That in your smallest commands in the book of Psalms, I want to obey even the smallest of your commands. The more you obey, the more you submit, not only will your daily life problems be solved, but more importantly, that the quality of your spirit will be changed. The quality of your spirit will be changed. What the Lord needs to use today is our spirit. Do you remember the Lord Jesus spoke to two disciples and says, you do not know the condition of your spirit. Why? Because they said, Lord, send fire from heaven and burn these cities. The Lord says, you do not know the condition of your own spirit. The Lord pays attention to the condition of your spirit. This is something that we need to particularly pay attention to today. I want to say a little bit more. When you come back to the Old Testament, we're all very clear that the anointing is only anointed upon three different types of people: priests, kings, and prophets. The anointing oil in the Old Testament cannot be put on anybody, because in God's will, these are three great functions that God wants to give to man: to be a king, to be a priest, to be a prophet. These are the three greatest functions. The Old Testament priests serve God. You have to be anointed. If you're not anointed, you cannot serve. This tells us that true service is beneath the anointing. Without the anointing, you cannot serve. Many times, brothers and sisters, we do not care and we do not pay attention to whether or not there is anointing. This is a huge mistake. If you have the anointing of the Lord, then brothers and sisters, in all of service, you do not need to fear anything. I have said in the past that naturally I have this difficulty, that I have a huge sense of self. I have this huge self-consciousness. Later when I read Sister Jessie Penn Lewis, she also had the same problem. She was very self-conscious. This self-consciousness really bothered her a lot. Self-consciousness means that she was afraid of standing in front of people. In front of everybody, she had to speak. And oftentimes when I have to preach, my self-consciousness within me would hinder me to have a lot of unnatural thoughts, abnormal thoughts. I would think about whether or not I speak well or speak badly. I haven't even gone up onto the pulpit and I've been bothered so much. Brothers and sisters, I thank the Lord. If you are full of the anointing, then you will not be influenced by these type of things. I have used an elderly brother. I have asked him how he overcame his self-consciousness. And he said, pray, 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 just pray. But now I realize that it's not just prayer, but I need the anointing. If I have the anointing, then when I serve, it doesn't matter what environment or what type of people I meet, how large the gathering is, or how many spiritual heroes there are over there. But beneath the anointing, I just follow and speak according to the anointing. In the past, if there's an elderly brother there, very mature brothers and sisters there, and I stand there, I see them and I'm afraid and I can't speak a word. One time I said before an elderly brother, I said to him, can you not go to tonight's meeting? He says, why do you not let me go to the meeting? I said, can you, or perhaps sit at the very back so that I don't see you? And he laughed at me. He laughed. He says, don't worry. Just be open and speak. But this is the type of person I am. And later when I saw him there, I felt so intimidated. But I thank the Lord. I followed the anointing and I spoke. What the Lord entrusted to me, I was faithful to it. Brothers and sisters, this teaching of the anointing is very important in service. You must have the anointing. In the Old Testament, those that are not anointed cannot enter into the tabernacle. You cannot go and serve there. Because in the tabernacle, everything, every item needs to be anointed and full of the anointing. Of course, today I don't have the time to speak of this, but in service, you need to follow the anointing. And I have said many times to brothers and sisters, today, we need to go back to learn the basics. I can tell there are many who are here who are very mature. When I ask you to pray, you immediately can pray, right? Because you have prayed for many years. You're well-trained. But to some of the young brothers and sisters who have never prayed openly in public, it's very hard. When somebody asks you to pray and the Holy Spirit's constantly moving you, but you still don't open your mouth. But for the older Christians, you don't even need the Holy Spirit. You just open your mouth and you pray. You be careful. I need to speak to the mature ones because everyone here, you have this desire to pursue. Even if you are very mature, when you open your mouth and you pray, what is best? You follow the anointing. You need to follow the anointing. Many among us are responsible brothers here, right? For example, in table meeting, communion, everyone is praying. When nobody prays, then you fulfill your responsibility because many of you are very responsible. When no one prays, you cannot have a cold meeting. And so you just open up your mouth because you feel pressed to open your mouth. One time, an elderly sister reminded me, as soon as you enter into the meeting, are you still responsible? No, you are not responsible. Allow the Holy Spirit to be responsible. So today when I come into a meeting, the entire meeting is in the hands of the Holy Spirit. You yourself follow the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit hasn't told you to pray, do not pray. Do you not trust the Holy Spirit? He will lead. Oftentimes, we are too responsible. You are too responsible. And so the Holy Spirit has to stand aside. Brothers and sisters, in service, you need to learn. As brothers and sisters, when the Holy Spirit moves you and you follow and you obey, do not quench the Holy Spirit. Do not quench his moving. These are the teachings of the scripture. And so older Christians, you need to obey and follow the Spirit even more. In these things, we need to practice and be trained. Then in service, we will bring in greater blessing. I remember one time, I think I was in Los Angeles. It was a prayer meeting. There weren't many people there. But that night, the atmosphere of the prayer meeting was very stuffy. Nobody could open their mouths to pray. The meeting was just so stuffy. But all of a sudden, an older brother. We can tell whether or not you follow the anointing or not. He followed the teaching of the anointing, followed a young person. It was amazing. As soon as he prayed, the atmosphere of the meeting was opened up. And then all of a sudden, everyone was able to pray. Why? After that meeting, in my heart, I was so admiring of this older brother because he changed the atmosphere of the entire meeting. So brothers and sisters, what does this mean? It's not because he was capable or had great gifts, but he followed the anointing. And so brothers and sisters, do not complain about the condition of the gathering. If you just wait for other people to change the condition of the meeting to be better, it's not right. You need to follow the teaching of the anointing. If you follow him and there is a moving within, then you can change so that the meeting can be full of life. In these years, many brothers and sisters complain. The meeting format is too stuffy. We can't stand it anymore. Brothers and sisters, if you follow the leading of the anointing, as soon as the anointing comes in, then life will come in. In the Old Testament, it shows us only priests are anointed. And in service, you need to have the anointing. Today, all brothers and sisters, we are all priests, right? Do not wait for others. You yourself follow the anointing. No matter what, how much you can do, it's not important. What's important is that you follow the anointing. In the Old Testament, not only the priests were anointed, but also kings were anointed. Now, kings, it speaks of how you govern as the administration. And so kings were also anointed. And so in terms of church administration and leadership, it's not your abilities, not your intelligence or wisdom. It's not about your experiences. Today, in churches, it's so easy for us to meet those who are based off of their own abilities and intelligence. That is wrong. Only when you follow the anointing, then you can govern. For kings, when they are anointed and they lead a country, what do kings represent? They also represent sovereignty, authority. In the New Testament time, when you follow the anointing, then you can have authority for the Lord. You bring in the authority of the Lord. We see our Lord Jesus in the four Gospels. The Pharisees there, the Sadducees, the high priest, they sent people to go and arrest the Lord Jesus. But when they heard our Lord Jesus speak, they came back and they said, "We have never heard anybody speak like this before because his words bring authority." So today, when you follow and you speak according to the anointing, you have authority. Today in the world, to have authority, you need to have a position. If you have a position, then you have the authority. And whoever has knowledge, they have authority. And because now I read a lot of books and I have a lot of knowledge, if I have a lot of head knowledge, a lot of people serve in the church based off of that. And so in my heart, sometimes I'm sad. Of course, I'm not a sour grape here. In the meetings in the past, it was that brother, or sometimes we say it's that professor. Once you place that professor there, oh, they have a position. And then everybody naturally obey that person, or because that person is some sort of a general manager or some rich person, when they speak, now they have clout and authority. That is how the world works. Brothers and sisters, authority needs to come from the anointing. As long as you have the anointing and you speak, we thank the Lord Jesus. When he came, he did not become the son of a king. He was not a commander, a general, or some intelligent person. He was a carpenter. When a carpenter speaks, how can he have clout and authority? The Pharisees there, they all looked so lightly upon him that this was a man from Nazareth, a carpenter. He was the son of a carpenter from Nazareth. But as soon as he opened his mouth, these people, they had a different sense. Why? Because in his words, there was authority. Brothers and sisters, today, if you want to have authority in your words, you need to follow the anointing. We need to learn to follow the anointing. In the church, only that words that are according to the anointing can it truly be provision. And so we see our Lord Jesus, he performed many miracles. And then we see that he was on a boat. There was a storm. There were wind and waves. But our Lord Jesus stood there. He just said, still, be quiet. Just this one word, and the wind and the waves stopped. Brothers and sisters, what does this tell us? That in the words of our Lord Jesus, he had great authority. He was standing even upon the flesh, as the flesh, in the flesh. He was an example for us, not in the position of being a son of man. You just need to learn how to speak in the anointing. If you have the anointing, you can speak. Without it, do not speak. And I learned this when I was young. Sometimes I did not learn it well. For example, in order to fill the time, without the anointing, I just speak, speak, speak. No, even when the anointing speaks, we continue on. One time I shared, at the beginning, it was full of the anointing. I had a lot to say. But then I said, brothers and sisters, the portion that the elderly brothers wanted me to speak, I haven't spoken. And then at the end, it was all dead. And then an elderly sister said, brother, the beginning was very good. The latter section was all terrible. They had no meaning whatsoever. People could tell what was of the anointing, what was not. You need to follow according to the anointing. Then, brothers and sisters, don't worry about others. Care about yourself, whether or not you are learning it well. That the more you speak, then the condition of the quality of your spirit will change. And then they will have a greater abundance of the Holy Spirit upon you. And then the words will be there. It's not that you have to read more books, forgive me for saying, because many of us brothers told us that we need to read. And every time I had to read this, I was so disappointed, because when I read so slowly. I see other people, they can read so much, so quickly. In one evening, they can read such a thick book. I cannot even read it in 1 year. When brothers told us we had to read, I would lose hope. I'd give up. But no, follow the anointing. Then it's okay. Follow the anointing. To me, this is so true and so real. Now, because of time, I have to continue on. There's another person who's also anointed. Those are the prophets. Now, prophets, they receive revelation, right? And they also speak according to the moving of the Holy Spirit. However, we need to know, who are prophets? Prophets are those who receive the mystery of God on earth. They are the vessels and those who receive the mysteries of God here on earth. Every single prophet was like this. When you read the prophets, they show us the mysteries of God. Later on, we're also going to talk about Colossians and Ephesians. Paul, he was a New Testament messenger, or one who received the mysteries of God. It was because the Holy Spirit, the anointing was within him. So therefore, he was able to write Colossians and Ephesians. And so today, in this entire universe, we see it's hidden much of God's mysteries, particularly in this generation and age. We have now come to a great crisis. Why? Because God cannot find a spirit, cannot find a good, excellent spirit. Because through man's spirit, he wants to reveal his will to us. And so in history, anytime there is a condition, there is such a condition that is called the period of darkness. We also know that there was a period of time when the words of Jehovah, words of the Lord, were scarce. Why? Because it's all man's opinions, man's teaching. Today, we have also come to a time of great crisis. We look to the Lord that among us, that God can gain some brothers and sisters, that we will have an excellent spirit so that the Holy Spirit can reveal all the secrets of his heart, that through our spirit can be released and revealed. When we come to this generation, the generation of the priests, the prophets, and the kings, it all has come upon our Lord Jesus in the New Testament time, and he has now given us the same life to us. And now this function is also within all of us. How can you allow such a function to be released and expressed through us? It's very easy. You follow the anointing. You obey and follow, submit to the anointing. The more you submit, the more you are able to understand the heart of God. I have shared with brothers and sisters before, if you want to understand the scripture, if you want to know the scripture, it's not just that you know it, you read it, you memorize it. It's not enough. You need to follow the teaching of the anointing. Because the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, can bring you into all truth. Once you have learned a lesson of following the anointing well, then the book of his word will be an open book to you. You can understand his words. Today we have so many books that explain scripture, interpret scripture. We read these books to try to understand. This is what other people have understood. Today, if you yourself want to understand, if you want to understand, you need the anointing. This is important. I remember 20 some years ago, I went to a province in China named Wenzhou. And the brothers there, they said, "We need you to come and help us." And I said to them, "You have many brothers who have gone before you. That generation, many older brothers have left behind some good books that can be a good provision for you." And there's a brother who responded and said, "Brother Sun, that was the past. You are the present." Do you understand his word? We can't just live in the light of those of the past. We have to live in the present. And so even though today our condition cannot surpass the abundance of the brothers who've gone before us, but what God wants is that which is living. We do not want that which is dead. So today, we need to learn how to follow the anointing. So today, before the Lord, I hope this time that together, brothers and sisters, as we pursue, it can truly stir up and encourage brothers and sisters to have a true love and desire in your daily life, in big and small matters, from your actions, your behavior, your speech, even like our sister said, in buying groceries, it would be full of the anointing. As you watch children, as you cook your meals as a sister, as those who are parents, as you teach your children, you follow the anointing. In how you speak, how you act, in all things, you need the anointing. Our Lord Jesus, in the flesh, he was an example for us. The Bible also tells us in Luke chapter 4. In Luke chapter 4, our Lord Jesus, when he spoke, it was full of the anointing. In Acts chapter 4, it tells us that he acted according to the Spirit. Our Lord Jesus, in the flesh, he was an example for us. And so in the Old Testament, the prophets, the priests, and the kings, that function now very clearly was expressed through our Lord Jesus. And so today we need this grace from the Lord to really learn this. We do hope that brothers and sisters, as we press on, what are we pressing on towards? That we do want to read his words well with accuracy. You do come to the gatherings. You do come to meetings. It's all right. And you serve. It's fine. It's right. But in all things, it cannot be apart from the Holy Spirit, from the anointing. It's so important. Today, When you meet Christians, no matter what gathering, you can find out. If you ask them, do you follow the anointing? Many of them do not understand. They don't know what this means. It's as if they have no experience of this. Because we know that this is a generation of desolation. Where is the church so desolate in? It's not in the numbers of people or the outward condition. It's desolate in the condition that we have neglected the true spiritual matters. This is the condition. This is the reason why we have desolation. The grace of God cannot come in. The blessings of God cannot come in. Isn't this desolation? So today, through the pursuit of brothers and sisters, we want to recover some of these good conditions. So I'm willing here for the teaching of the anointing in our daily life. I do want to again have this fellowship with brothers and sisters, so that I hope that you will emphasize and pay attention to this. If you use this only as doctrine and teaching, then it's not good. We really need to place this in our life. Follow the teaching of the anointing in your daily living. It's not a special circumstance, but I do hope, brothers and sisters, daily that you will live in the anointing. Now we still have some time. This first point that I just wanted to reemphasize and review it, because these are all very important. And as we have said, we want to establish good spiritual habits. It's not just for the individual, but it's also for the church. This is also very important. We said before, to have a life and a living, you will have habits. You must have daily habits. Everyone has their own habits. And this comes out in your life. So no matter where you are, if you have a church, you will have a particular format. It's not possible to have no format. You will have a particular format. In scripture, it never emphasizes or pays attention to the method or the format. However, these things exist. And it has a great influence on our spiritual life and our gatherings. Last time we said that corporately, our habits can, as we follow a particular format, it can influence the way of the Lord. Why? Because many Christians, because they were in a particular environment, in a particular method or way, they were established in such a way that when they want to leave that environment and enter into the way of the Lord is very hard. For example, like Paul, like Peter, like John, they were Jews. They were previously in Judaism. They were born in Judaism. This is where they were born, where they were educated. They lived in Judaism. Their education was thoroughly of Judaism. For such a person, the Lord Jesus now came to bring God's will to them, to show them God's way, to change them. It was very hard. And so God needed to use a very special and extreme way to bring them out of that. And this was, reread Paul's conversion. God needed to use a great light, such a great light to the point where he was blinded. He was blinded for 3 days. He couldn't see a thing. To Paul, in that experience, it was extreme. It was a very dramatic and strong experience. But in that experience, he met the Lord. The Lord changed his entire life direction and in his entire service, way of service, in that vision. he revealed himself to Paul with such a great and dramatic light to the point where he was knocked down to the ground. Then could Paul be changed? Because otherwise it'd be so difficult. Paul was previously in Judaism. He gloried in that. According to the tradition of men, this was his goal in his life. This was the purpose of all his pursuit. If it were not for God's mercy and hand to come upon him, he would have been a blind person in Judaism and continued on. But now the Lord changed him. The Lord needed to use such a dramatic way to change his entire condition, which tells us Judaism, that form, is a form that is a great bondage. It is one that enslaves people. 2,000 some years of church history also tells us countless brothers and sisters have been enslaved by this formless thing that is a form. You follow in that way. You don't feel it. You feel it's there's so much freedom. It's so good. But God's will is now limited. Brothers and sisters, we cannot look lightly upon this. Personally, if you want to have good spiritual habits, of course, this will be a great benefit to you in your spiritual life. But in church, we also need to have good spiritual habits in order to have good form. Yes, it's necessary. You cannot be apart from it. We all need to have a form. Some older brothers have, in the past, regarding this church form, everybody had so much arguments about it. One person said, "This form must be like this. It's just like this." Of course, I'm not judging anybody here. There are some things. I'm just going to use this as an example. You know that some churches, because they have used an electric organ to worship, everybody thinks it's so good. That electric organ, a sister one time as she was sitting there, she was moved by the Holy Spirit. She went up and she started to play. And it was full of inspiration and it pulled up the meeting, the atmosphere of the meeting. And then they thought, this is very good. So every time we have this meeting, we need to have organ music. And after some years, some brothers and sisters, as they served the Lord, their thought was, if we begin a meeting in a particular place, the very first important thing is that we need to buy an electric organ. Without an electric organ, we cannot worship. And then a sister said, isn't worship in spirit and in truth? Without an electric organ, you cannot worship? And she said, yes. But I said, the Bible does not say that. But she said, this is the way it is. And she was very stubborn about it. She went to a place and said, encourage them that the saints need to offer money so that they could buy an electric organ and to bring everybody into worship. Brothers and sisters, it sounds very laughable, but to them, this is something that is very serious to them. It is serious to them. For us, do we have a set form as well? What are we most proud about? Under earth, we are the most standard form. We thank the Lord. There's some brothers and sisters, they don't think this way. But back then, we really thought, brothers had this thought. Our gathering, our format in table meeting, it is the most standard and the most biblical under the heaven. And then once this thought came in, it became a set form. And then later when the Lord had to change us, and then everybody had to use many cups to represent that one cup. Wow, this became a great argument between us. For this matter, they were willing to be martyred. They wanted to die and not wanted to change. because these are outward things. There are some things at face value in scripture. We cannot just take it at face value. Do you remember one time I shared about something that was very, very funny? Why? Because in the Bible, Paul has said many times, you need to kiss one another in love, in holiness. Didn't Paul say this? So in the past, brothers, when they met one another, they had to kiss one another. But Paul knew that there was this problem with these kisses, because you also need to be holy. But because there might be some who are not holy in their heart. So to do this is very difficult. But in the Brethren movement in Europe, there was a group of brothers who said, as whatever the Bible taught, we need to diligently do it. And so when they read this, they tried to do it. And the brothers and sisters must do this. Every time you met one another, you need to kiss one another. We know the Jews, they do this. And then there are those in Europe who do this as they greet one another. But as Chinese, we cannot do this. It's very difficult for us, right? Let me tell you a joke. My mother, when she first came to America, she could not go. There wasn't any place she could go to meet. So she went to an American gathering. This is a place where Brother Stephen Kong was as well. And then the Americans at that time, when they met one another, they kissed one another. And my mother said, that young brother came over to me to kiss me. My mother was so embarrassed. Brothers and sisters, we know that there are some words in scripture, you cannot take it at face value. In Holland, there are some brothers and sisters, in order to do exactly what the Bible says, they realized there were problems when they kissed one another. So what should they do? So they said, how can we take care of this problem? They said, okay, in the church, the elders, responsibles, and deacons, they're more spiritual. You can only kiss these brothers and sisters. You do not need to kiss the other brothers and sisters. But later they realized they couldn't do this either. There were still a great problem in this. So what should they do? You take this as a joke, but this is true. They said, okay, you can kiss. It cannot pass 3 seconds. Any kiss that is past 3 seconds is not holy. So this is what they said. And then they realized it was still not right. Then what should they do? So they had this tablet, a kissing tablet. You can find that tablet there in the museums in Holland at table meeting, because you cannot kiss each other. You just kiss the tablet and you pass it on. Everybody kiss the same tablet and you pass it on. So from the brothers, they would kiss that tablet. It became such a joke. What are these things? Because they were so diligent in trying to pursue after the spirit, these truths in the Bible, or the words of the Bible. Brothers and sisters, we know that today in church history, there are countless groups have countless formats for how they gather. Some forms are according to scripture, some are according to their own habits. There are many problems in this. These are not small things, because these are things that cause division in the church. You do this and I don't do it, then we divide. It becomes a great problem in the church. Don't think of it as a small thing. And so in these decades, as I have served, brothers and sisters, in our hearts, we have this great struggle. We do emphasize table meeting, communion the most. But in these years, in communion, it has caused great division among the saints. It causes us great sorrow in this most holy matter. Why? A matter of methods, what matter of the form and the way. So brothers and sisters, again, as we come back to this matter, we hope that we can come back to the truth and be firm in it. And so two things that we cannot lack in church administration and form. First is life. First, everything in church form must be of life. Second, the body. The church is the body of Christ. These two principles, these two restraints in how you build up the church, it doesn't matter what form you have. These are two most necessary things, two most important necessary things that you need to have. It's just like our human body. What do we need in our bodies? The first is our life, and the second is our physical body, right? Everything else are just outward things. Life is that inward necessary item. The body is the outward. When God created us, in our individual lives, there's nothing more important than our human life. There's nothing more important than our physical body, right? A lot of people only emphasize the body, but not their life. This is very sad and pitiful. But we are clear on this, that life and body cannot be separated, right? Without life, the body is a dead body. Once the life has left the body, then the body is a dead body. So no wonder there are some churches, they don't emphasize life. We see that it's just a bunch of dead bodies there. It's a dead gathering. This is a very terrible thing. But, brothers and sisters, the body is also very important. If your body is broken, it cannot retain life, right? So these two things are the two things that you cannot lack. Not only do we emphasize life, we also emphasize the principle of the body. You need to live out the principle of the body. Many church conditions, they do not emphasize life. It becomes a dead body. Some people do not emphasize the body. They do not have the condition of the body. Therefore, it cannot retain life. I have met many gatherings that are like this. Some gatherings, they only pay attention to the individual pursuit of the Lord, to have good worship form, but they don't know what the church is. They don't understand the way of the church or the relationship between the members of the body. They do not emphasize this. They only pursue after personal pursuit of the Lord. They only have life, but no body. That testimony cannot be retained there. These two things cannot be lacking. Without one or the other, you cannot come to a complete and perfect condition. And so this is another reminder for brothers and sisters. That which administers the two important format of the church needs to have life and the body. If you're not within life, you need to have the reality of life. If you're in the body, it tells us that we are all members of the same body, right? As Christians, if you think that as a Christian, yes, you want to be an individual, but as a member of the body, you cannot be by yourself. You need to be together with brothers and sisters. You need to honor other members. You need to love. You need to help other members. Brothers and sisters, in the church, this problem, the truth is very clear. However, in church history, from the second century on, all the way till today, we know that only about 300 some years ago in the Brethren movement that the body was recovered and we had the reality of the body. But now we have this concept, but we feel that it has become more shallow now. We don't have a strong emphasis on it. We need to pay attention and re-emphasize the body. Paul, on earth, one of the greatest problems, apart from Judaism, later on the greatest problem was the problem of the body of Christ. He says, in my flesh, I fill up that which is lacking in Christ's body. For Paul himself, personally, to love the Lord, there's no problem there. He was quite happy in that. But because he needed to be united together with the body, brothers and sisters, is something that constrains us, is a boundary. You cannot just think of yourself. In the body, there is no individualism. There's no individualism. This is another great crisis for us today. Some people don't care about the church at all. As long as I myself live before the Lord, it's good enough. I don't care about anyone else. Brothers and sisters, this is a great mistake. We need to live in the body, within the body. Then you are restrained. As if you have some bondage. You don't have as much freedom. But brothers and sisters, in the body, you look at your members. Because it is connected to your body, that is why it can function, right? If you cut off your hand, then it's useless. Today, you cannot be by yourself. Our entire body needs to be united together in harmony. We need to be united. This is something we need to pay attention to before the Lord. We have talked a lot about this in the past. I can't go into it in detail today, but as a reminder, brothers and sisters, in all of the church building, I want to say, yes, in our church gatherings, we will have a form, but in the form, what we do pay attention to are life and the body. All the outward formalities, those problems are not great. We don't emphasize that at all. In the details, it will cause division in the church. And so today, when we talk about the teaching of the anointing, we have gone a little bit deeper in our fellowship and regarding having good church spiritual habits and this principle of the format. We've also re-emphasized this issue. We pray that the Lord will show us grace so that in different locations, you may grab a hold of the main focus, the heart. And out all of these outward things, we can discern it. We can place those as secondary matters. No matter where you pay attention to life and the body, then the format for that church will be according to the requirements of God and not according to tradition and not according to any one person's teaching. May he lead us in this way. Now our time has come. I don't have time to continue on. And so one time each month when we gather together and pursue, you can say it's also very shallow because it's all spaced out month to month. But we do hope that in each location, in your regional gathering, as you lead other brothers and sisters, please continue on to pursue. In this way, you will be able to make up that which is lacking. Now, next month, Let me give you the time for our next gathering. It will be in July. It will be July 24th. July 24th will be our next gathering. We're going to ask the brothers and sisters to memorize Colossians chapter 4 in Chinese, and the saints in Seattle to memorize Colossians 4 in English. And we do hope that we can solve some of the technological problems so that everything sounds a little bit more orderly and not so noisy, because it's a little difficult for us to listen to. But no matter what, brothers and sisters still continue on to memorize. And we know that there's still WCCC in July, so we will gather next July 24th. So we hope that you can have some preparation for that. And we hope that through this next month, brothers and sisters, in following the experience or following the teaching of the anointing, you will have greater and better experiences. If you have some experiences, please don't hide them. Please share with everyone. So today our meeting will conclude here. Let's, as we conclude, still have some open time of prayer. We just said that we need to follow the anointing. And so if the Spirit moves you, do pray. Last time I thought, as I prayed, then we concluded, but then I thought, I do also need to follow the anointing. If you are moved by the Lord, just lead us in a short prayer. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you have given us the Holy Spirit, our Comforter, because you have so much patience and so much grace for us. And Lord, through the teaching of the anointing, Lord, may it become a reality in our daily life. Thank you. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Lord Jesus, we thank and praise you with all our hearts. Thank you for your precious blood that you have redeemed us, that now we can stand before the eternal living God, and that we can have the position of priest, prophet, and king. Lord, do help us so that we may follow the anointing and follow the teaching of the anointing. As prophet, priest, and king, may the reality of these functions come out from us. Lord, we are so base, so weak, and yet we have this eternal, holy life to be a king. Lord, we truly thank you and praise you. We once again offer ourselves back into your hand so that in our daily lives we can truly obey the Holy Spirit, so that in all things we can touch the leading of the Spirit, so that this royal life may be expressed from us, so that our God may receive all glory, that our God may receive the service that he deserves and the worship he deserves. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the words that you have spoken to us. Before you, we acknowledge that many times we pursue the wrong things. We pursue after outward results. Lord, we thank you for teaching our hearts to also correct us so that you may lay hold of more of us, that we may have a true spiritual life. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lord, we thank you for speaking to us. Indeed, yes, we are so easily grabbed a hold of by outward circumstances. Lord, do open up our inner eyes so that from within we can grab a hold of that which is most central, important, to follow the teaching of the anointing, that it may be the way of our life. May this way not be broken, so that before you we may have a true life that follows the teaching of the anointing. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, we do thank you for giving us such fellowship. Lord, you are truly our living God. Thank you that the Holy Spirit leads us every day, that you are living within us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord Jesus, thank you for giving us the Holy Spirit so that we are not those who do not have one who leads us. And before you, Lord, may we be more willing to obey your teaching. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lord, on earth, may we be those who be laid hold of by you, so that your will in this age would still have a way through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lord, we do pray that you would gain us. May this desire be in every brother and sister. Even though we have such a short amount of time before you to fellowship, may the Holy Spirit put the lasting results in every brother and sister's daily life. Lord, in time, may you do your eternal work. For this desolate generation, we place it before you. May you yourself gain that which is eternal, and may we be that honorable vessel in your hands for the work that you will accomplish. May we be those who are entrusted and do that which you have entrusted to us. Thank you. Thank you for your presence. Continue to watch over us. Hear our prayer. In Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen. For the sake of time, we need to stop here. May the Lord protect and watch over all brothers and sisters.